Hello and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. I'm James Holloway, and this is one of these special episodes of Patron Deities that goes out to all my patrons, and not just those who back at the $2 level. In this series, I'm talking about the non-human deities in the Deities and Demigods book, and when I run out of them, which will be eventually, I'm going to have to think of something else. But for now, we're still talking about this chapter. In our last episode, we talked about Laugzed, the god of troglodytes, and one of the gods in the Deities and Demigods book that I happen to like. But no such luck today, friends. We're going to start off by talking about Iadro. Iadro is the god worshipped by both Lokotha and Mermen. The text helpfully informs us that Lokotha and Mermen do not always get along, even though they worship the same god. A behavior observed nowhere else in history, I guess. I wouldn't have presumed they did, but never mind, eh? The key point is that Iadro is about as boring as a god can get. Iadro is worshipped by people who live in water. Iadro is the god of water. Iadro takes the form of one of the people who worship him, or a big blob of water, and slaps you with water tentacles, which may be the least menacing type of thing to be slapped with. I don't care how much damage it does. There's one weird piece of theological something that goes with Iadro, and this is maybe the most interesting thing about an otherwise pretty bland deity, which is that Iadro watches over the spirits of Lokotha and Mermen after they die, but before they are reincarnated. Well, indeed, it does say spirits, which I had took initially to be, you know, just what we say someone's spirit goes to heaven after they die or whatever, but no, of course, in Dungeons & Dragons, there's a big difference between having a spirit and having a soul. Humans and dwarves and halflings and so on have souls, but by contrast, orcs and elves have spirits. And there's various reasons for this, I don't know, but the ultimate point is that things that have spirits reincarnate. This is a little weird because you would think that mermen would have souls, since they are basically humans but they live in the sea. We already have aquatic elves who are to elves as merfolk are to humans, but merfolk, unlike humans, don't have souls. Well, it's not that interesting, I just said it was the most interesting thing about Iadro. Iadro is definitely a case of not very interesting deity design, right? Because, again, I'm sure I've said this before, this is very like, if you've ever read the Song of Ice and Fire books by George R. R. Martin, or for that matter, seen the TV show, they're not similar in this exact way, but they have some similarities. And one of those similarities is that the world building has to be done in very broad strokes. You get a large number of different factions, you get a large number of different locations. So all of those locations are presented in a very extreme way. Like if you go to the grim gray rocky islands inhabited by grim gray Viking-y pirate types, you're going to get every single thing there is about how grim and gray and CE it is, right? They'll be like, hey, here's my son, Salts McGee, and we live on Fish Rock, and our king sits on the, you know, the chair of the waves, and whatever, right? Everything they do is about reminding you that they are the salty, rocky, piratey guys, because they're not really on screen that much, or on page that much, and therefore they constantly have to be, like, affirming their brand identity. Right, when you got a large number of characters and they don't all turn up as often as you'd think, and in many cases, because the way those books are written, they're hundreds of pages apart, those appearances, you have to really hammer home who that guy is, or the readers are going to forget. So, just in case, like, so to give the benefit of the doubt to these very generic deities, I would say that they are reinforcing the identity of the non-humans that worship them. Now, I'm not so sure about that. Like, Hrugek, he's cool because of his illustration, but I don't think you were in the... I don't think you were in any danger of forgetting that bugbears are a bunch of rowdy brutes, right? They're bugbears, that's their whole thing. Anyway, Iadro's not very interesting. He reveals that merfolk don't have souls, which is kind of weird, but also, I don't think anyone put that much thought into him. They live in water. Water god. Okay, next. Now, next is... I mean, this is not actually next, this is earlier in the section, it is the previous one, but I'm just doing these in no particular order as my eye falls on them, so let's talk about Semuanya, the god of lizard folk. I like Semuanya a little bit more than I like Iadro. I feel like Semuanya is a good idea that has not quite taken off. See, the thing about Semuanya is that Semuanya is neutral and is really into being neutral. Semuanya is, as it were, cold-blooded. So Semuanya is like, yeah, don't get carried away by your emotional attachments, don't do things for reasons of, like, anger or pride, make the choices needed to survive, don't waste effort. And Semuanya fights with a club studded with sharp shells, which is a really fun and good detail, because it doesn't make any sense. Just like a lot of the attributes of gods worshipped in real life don't make any sense, right? I've talked before, but I always use the example Poseidon, the god of the sea, earthquakes, and horses. because actual religions are complex and weird and messy, and you want to just throw in a little bit of stuff that doesn't make any sense, because otherwise you wind up with Eadro, the water god, who is a guy made of water, who lives in a big ocean, and he drops the souls of his worshippers into the current of life, and I mean, really, who cares? So Semuanya is a better idea than Eadro, because Semuanya is an ideal that lizard people aspire to, but that they don't necessarily achieve. Right? It says, clerics of Semuanya attempt to, like, imitate their god's taciturnity, and the key there is attempt to. You know, they're thinking, feeling beings just like anybody else. They're just aspiring to this ideal of being cold-blooded. I think that's really interesting. That's the good news. We've got a god who embodies the aspirations, but not necessarily the lived reality of the culture that worships him. The bad news is that those aspirations are super boring. Semuanya says you should only take the actions that are practically necessary to ensure your survival. There's no good or evil. You know, all you have to do is stay alive. And the shamans counsel the avoidance of humans and whatnot because they're all more trouble than they're worth, right? We don't want to get invaded by dungeoneers. Let's just run away from trouble, hide when the humans show up, not stick our noses out too far, not take any risks. Like, oh, you want to conquer this valley and plunge all the lands into a second darkness? Doesn't seem prudent. So the aspirations of the lizard people are to stay out of trouble, which is not going to make them very exciting in this game that is all about getting into trouble. So it's a nice idea in theory. Now, the only way that this works, the way that this can be cool, is if you have a character who knows a certain amount about lizard folk culture, and then that character sees the lizard folk doing stuff that's wild and crazy, and that character then gets to go, huh, you know, the worship of Semuanya teaches lizard folk to be detached and rational. This kind of savagery isn't what I would normally expect from them. And then that might either mean that, like, oh, these killings were actually committed by somebody else, and the lizard folk were framed. Like, it was actually some totally different thing. The guy's like, well, there are lizard folk in this area. You know, I bet I could pin this on them. Or, alternatively, something is very wrong in Lizardville. And those are actually both fun options. But to get there, you'd have to seed that fact about Semuanya in advance, which probably means setting up more than anybody really wants to know about Semuanya, who is not actually all that interesting. I guess if you got a lizard folk PC in your party, so you can use it to set up a contrast, like lizard people are supposed to be taciturn, and that's why this lizard person is an outcast, because, you know, she loves song and story and wandering the roads making new friends. Or lizard folk are, you know, detached and rational, so the fact that these ones are not means something is terribly wrong or whatever. So I guess Semuanya gives you kind of a little bit of an insight into lizard folk culture and the ability to do some limited narrative stuff. But unfortunately, overall, the problem with Semuanya isn't the good idea that Semuanya embodies ideals that lizardman culture fails to live up to, but that those ideals are dull, which is the kiss of death for the monstrous god of an NPC foe. That the whole point about foes is to be exciting to fight. And the god of boring tactical rationality probably doesn't make that happen. I don't know. I could be wrong. If you've got some good mileage out of Semuanya, I believe you. But I think you have to twist it a little bit to make it work. All right. Anyway, that's another couple of non-human deities. I hope that you enjoyed them. I wouldn't say I enjoyed them per se, but, you know, they prompt fun thoughts. And that's what's really important. So thank you very much for listening. And thank you once again for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.